So we thank God, and I personally thank God for the opportunity to be with the brethren at this moment. I know that quite a lot has been happening in the course of this conference. And I have not personally been a part of it, but I trust that the Lord will help me to link up with what has been considered in the course of the past 2 days. What is really in my heart to share this morning relates to the visitation of God, the time of a people's visitation. And I believe that this is something that is important for us, you know, to consider as a body. You know, considering the fact that the Lord has been dealing with us and helping us, you know, for many years. And we will need to understand the mind of the Lord concerning the way he's looking at visiting various people groups, and you know, so that our hearts will be really prepared concerning his purposes. So the burden in my heart is about the time of the visitation of a people. When God chooses to visit a people, and I hope that the Lord will help us to really understand this and to see the full intent of his purpose. Amen. If we turn to the book of Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27. There Paul says something that is really, really very important that lays the basis for the consideration that we'll be looking at this morning. It says, "And God hath met of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." Really, all of us here, we've come from different people groups. And it's been because the Lord has decided to visit those particular people groups. And I believe seriously that the Lord is... He is looking at different nations and different people groups that he intends to visit. And we need to understand that there is a time when God visits a people, and he take out of them a people for his name. Amen. But the thing is, the Lord provides a specific time when he visits these people. And he has established the appointed time for that visitation of a people. And I find out that in the time when God is visiting a people, there are a number of things that do happen. If you look at the book of Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 15 verse 14, which says specifically that You know, Simon was speaking, James was speaking, and he mentioned that Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So the Lord visits a people in order to take out of them a people for his name. We know that this is something that has been ongoing for generations, that the Lord visits a people to take out a people for his name. But specifically in the time of God's visitation, there are a number of things that take place. You know, when it is time for a people to be visited and for God to manifest himself to a people, there are about three things that are very critical that take place. In the book of Exodus, and I would just like us to focus on that for a while. In the book of Exodus, in the time of the visitation that God made to Israel, we see that as a very, very clear example of the visitation of God. Exodus chapter 3. I believe that the Lord is helping us, and he is seeking to make us understand that in our present day time, you know, he will be visiting different nations. And when that happens, we need to understand what actually is going on. In Exodus chapter 3, we see that there are three main things that do happen. One is that, God reveals himself to a man-child company at the time of his visitation. There must, first of all, be a company of people that are prepared, you know, in the time of God's visitation of a people. We are looking at the time when God visited Israel, and what he did was he came to them first by revealing himself to Moses, who he had prepared in order to deliver Israel out of captivity. You know, and Moses specifically represents a kind of a man-child company that, God raises in the time of his visitation. So we see that, he reveals himself to Moses in chapter 3, verse 1. You know, God appeared to Moses, and he called him, he appeared to him, and he called him and said to him, I would like to send you to a people, send you to my people to bring them out of captivity. You know, Moses, in my understanding, represents a company of people, a company of those who God will use in the time of his visitation to be able to help a people to come out of the captivity that they have been in for many, many years. And we are really looking at the situation of so many people groups in different nations that God is seeking to reach out to in order to bring them out of captivity. Amen. The desire of the Lord is that he will reveal himself first of all to a company of people, a company that he is going to use as an instrument in order to bring people out of captivity. So the Lord came to Moses and he revealed himself to him. You know, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, and to a good land and a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Amen. You know, Israel had been in captivity for 400 years plus by this time. And obviously they had lost hope of the possibility of coming out of captivity. It is pretty much the same situation that we find a lot of people groups are in. They have been in captivity in various nations. The elect of God that he has got in various countries that he would like to bring out have been in captivity for how long? For many, many years. And when it is time for God to bring a people up out of captivity and to visit a particular nation in order to rescue his own people, the elect out of that nation, he will bring them to a position where they are really desirous of liberty. There's a groaning, there is a yearning, there's a crying to God, you know, because of the oppression that they have been under for hundreds and perhaps in some cases thousands of years. Now, in the case of Israel, they have been in captivity for 430 years. And the Lord was going to set them free and bring them out of captivity to lead them to the land that he had prepared for them. And so, we see the revelation of God to Moses as the deliverer, a company, Moses representing a company of people that God normally works with in the time of his visitation to a people. And, you know, this company of people, the Lord, you know, prepares them ahead of time in order to have the ability and the capacity to do the work that God has purposed for them to do. Amen. You know, and I believe that this company of people basically have three basic things about them. You know, one, they have the grace of princes, the ability, you know, to rule, and they are also priests of God. They are prophets. you know, that declare the word of God directly to men. You know, and Moses was that sort of person, that kind of deliverer that had the ability to bring forth the word of God and to bring deliverance to God's people, you know, in his own time. And God said, now I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring deliverance to Pharaoh, to the children of Israel. So the Lord was very gracious to Moses in revealing himself to him and declaring the condition and the situation of the children of Israel that they were in. The Lord told him that, look, there is the groanings of my people have come up before me, and I have come now to deliver them out of captivity, and so I'm sending you to them. So this is what we see in terms of what the Lord, you know, seeks to do in a given situation where he is visiting a people. We as his own people, we are being prepared by the Lord, you know, for the visitation of different nations that he has sent us to. And therefore, we need to understand this, brethren, that that the Lord is dealing with us in particular areas. He is seeking to make sure that we have that capacity, that ability to be the deliverers that he wants us to be. Amen. You know, it took the Lord some time to deal with Moses under different circumstances, you know, to bring him to that level of capacity that, that you know, he was going to be able to fulfill that calling that God has for him, you know, with the Israelites. And in much the same manner, the Lord is having to deal with us in order to bring us to that level of capacity, that place of grace that he has purposed for us to have. Amen. You know, and as I mentioned, you know, there are three distinct things that we need to understand the Lord will deal with us in. You know, first of all, we must understand that the Lord is going to grant us the grace, you know, to be princes, you know, the capacity of princes. You know, we are in the kingdom of God, as we recognize, you know, the three different types of graces that the Lord gives to us are really paramount in the work that he is going to use us for. The grace of princes, you know, which is to enable us to rule and to direct the work of God, is very, very essential. As well as the grace of princes or priests, in order to bear a people before God and cry to the Lord that the Lord will bring them out of captivity, as well as the grace of prophets to declare the word of God directly to a people. Amen. So Moses was that kind of a man-child that God had prepared, you know, in the time of the visitation of the Israelites. And we don't expect anything different in our own generation, that God will have to walk with us. He will have to deal with us in order to bring us to that level of capacity for us to be the deliverers that God wants us to be, for us to be those that will bring the word of God to people the way God wants us to, for us to be those people that will, you know, lift up a people to the Lord in constant prayer, you know, so that the Lord will look upon a people and visit them. You know, so this is one thing that happens in the time of the Lord's visitation to a people. He must raise a company of people, a company of the man-child, a company of those who have the threefold grace, you know, the threefold grace upon them in order to bring about, you know, deliverance. So this is the first thing we see. The second thing we see is that God hears the groanings of a people. He hears the groanings of a people. A people are groaning, they are yearning for deliverance, they are yearning for the salvation of God, they are yearning for the visitation of God, they are yearning for God to bring them out of captivity. Well, they may not exactly know what it is they are looking for, but there is a stirring in their heart. There's a yearning in their heart to come out of captivity, you know, in various places. You know, and, you know, Psalms 102 does say that God is the one that looks down from the height of his sanctuary. He hears from heaven the groanings of the prisoner and to loose those that have been appointed unto death. You know, so, you know, unless a people come to a point where they have really been so burdened and troubled by the oppression that they have been under and begin to cry, begin to yearn, you know, they may not be that particularly ready for the visitation of God. You know, the harvest that God wants us to have must be ripe and must be ready. You know, and this is part of the preparation of that harvest, that the people become really, really troubled and they are seeking for deliverance, yearning for deliverance. And this is what happened to the Israelites in the time when they had spent about 430 years. You know, they were yearning for deliverance. They have been under the heavy burden and the tax masters of Egypt, you know, for so many years. By the time of their deliverance had come near. And therefore, God was telling Moses that I have heard their groanings. I have heard their yearnings. I have, you know, heard their cries. And now it is time for me to deliver them. So this is a second thing that will happen in the time of a people's deliverance. You know, in the time of their visitation, they will be crying and yearning for deliverance, yearning for salvation, yearning for getting out of the situation that they are in. And then the third thing is that God sends the deliverer, this company of the man-child, you know, to a people. He sends the company of the man-child to a people, you know, so that they will be in a position to bring them out of captivity. Amen. And I believe that the Lord is dealing with us in this manner. He is helping us. He is, all this while, for many years, the Lord is helping us. He is dealing with us. He is teaching us his way. He is sorting us out. He is training us in particular direction. He is helping us to come up of age. He is working with us in all the phases of our lives in order to make us the kind of people that will be available to him, to be instruments in his hand to bring about his visitation to a people in the time of his visitation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the other thing that we want to consider is that in the time when God is visiting a people, the work is taking place in a three-phase manner. You know, and as I share this, the burden that has been on my heart really is that we're looking at different nations that God has positioned us in, you know, where he has located us physically for us to carry out his purposes. And as we pray and seek the Lord, you know, concerning these nations, God will be making the nations ready and preparing them, you know, so that they will become ripe and available for the harvest to come. You know, because there is a harvest that the Lord is preparing, you know, so that he will garner all the elect out of all the four corners of the earth, you know, and bring them into the kingdom of God. You know, so So this work will definitely be happening in a three-phase manner. First, there will be the first fruits. When we begin to see the first fruits, the first believers out of a place, the first company of those who have been harvested, we know that, you know, the visitation of God has begun in a given nation. Amen. All the nations that we belong to or were resident in, at some point, they went through different stages of the work of God. And, you know, for many of them, I just take typically the one that I'm much more familiar with, Nigeria. You know, I don't know when the Lord began the work in Nigeria in terms of the work of the gospel, but it must have been more than 100 years ago, or perhaps up to 200 years ago. And it definitely began with the first fruits coming in, the harvest of the first fruits, the very first ripe company of people that God secured for himself. And with time, more and more people are coming in. But until the first fruits come in, we cannot have the main harvest in a given nation. We cannot have the main harvest. The Lord lays a pattern of the way he does his things. There is a pattern that God follows. And in this pattern, we are looking first at the first fruits. You know, I mean, I live and work in Sudan, and I know that that nation has been a very tough place in terms of, you know, the work of the gospel. But there are first fruits that are coming out. They are coming out, you know, of Sudan unto the Lord. And it gives us great confidence that, yes, the time of God's visitation is near. You know, and we've been praying and asking the Lord that he will, you know, have a big harvest in Sudan. And he is going to have it. You know, sometimes it looks very challenging and difficult for us to think that such a thing will be. You know, and if you look at Nigeria also in a similar vein, certain parts of Nigeria has known the visitation of God for many years. And the Lord has gathered so many saints out of there. He has got the elect. He has got millions, you know, of people who have come into the kingdom. But there are other parts that are yet to be visited. I'm just using this as an example. And we know that when the Lord begins to walk in a place, he will never stop until he finishes his work. He will not stop. And therefore, we have great confidence that he is going to visit every part of that country. And the other nations that God is leading us into, in the works that are taking place in various places, the Lord will touch every part and bring out the elect. The promise we have in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 7, verse 9, is that the Lord will bring out people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. You know, those four categories. As long as you are talking about a nation, and maybe we might use that to represent countries in the modern times, you know, God will bring out people out of every country on the face of the earth. How many countries do we have now? About 200 or thereabouts. You know, and God is going to bring out his people out of each one of these 200 countries. Then we have got, people that may represent races. You know, people probably represent races in that context. And every single race, and there are just a couple of them, you know, that we have, God will bring out a people out of them. You know, this is the promise that the Lord has made. And then we've got kindreds, tribal groups, groups that are particularly linked together in terms of culture, in terms of language, you know, they are much more closely linked together. God will bring out people, his own people, out of each one of these tribes. And in terms of languages, I understand that there are somewhere around 3,000 languages or thereabouts globally. And out of this, about 3,000 languages, God is going to bring out a people for his name. So this is the promise that the Lord has made. But in doing that, you know, he will follow this pattern. The first fruits first. The first fruits first. Amen. He will have the first fruits. And when we begin to see the first fruits come into being, we know that the harvest, the main harvest, is near. You know, it's as simple as that in terms of our agriculture, isn't it? That crops don't ripe all at the same time. There are those that ripe first, and they are harvested, and they probably have much more value in terms of the timing of the appearance, you know, and you know, they go ahead of all the others in terms of becoming the first to be ripe. But then, you know, when those ones have come in, then the big main harvest comes into being. You know, in the scriptures, it is referred to as the vintage in terms of the grapes, isn't it? You know, the main harvest, when everything everywhere is ripe, you know, and you can have the big harvest. And this is what the Lord is doing in the various nations and the people groups and the different tribes and languages that he is visiting. And then ultimately, there will be the final, you know, remnants that will be gathered, the gleanings, the remaining harvest that is left over, you know, as it were. So God is doing this work at the moment, as we know, as he prepares us and makes us to understand, you know, his purpose for the nations. He will be, preparing each one of these nations and people groups, you know, for his visitation and for the harvest that he will be making amongst them. Hallelujah. You know, and I trust that the Lord will help us to understand this some more, and to see that indeed we are in such a time when he is doing this kind of work amongst the people that we all are working in. And also, this is a confidence that we have. If I go back a little bit to the example of Nigeria, the visitation of God in Nigeria over a period of time has gone around the country, from particularly the southwest to the south to the southeast, and now predominantly in the middle part of the country. And we know the challenges that are going on in Nigeria at the moment are there because God is preparing a visitation. You know, the difficulties we're facing in the core north. I come from the middle part of Nigeria, you know, and God began to visit the middle part of Nigeria many years. Well, the missionaries came and did some work, you know, but it was not a very deep and complete work. Basic salvation, you know, by the grace of God, you know, baptism in water, and that's it, you know. But much more later, the Lord began to do a work and visit the middle part of Nigeria, especially in the 70s, after the Civil War. And many of us got born again during that time. You know, and the Lord has been continuing the work and garnering a lot of people out of that middle part of Nigeria. You know, just to indicate that God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't show partiality to any people group. He is prepared to visit the people because he has got his elect everywhere and he's going to bring them out. You know, so in this particular regard, the work is continuing. I believe in the middle belt we've gone far beyond first fruits. We're into the main harvest, you know, because God is bringing out so many people out of there. I'm using this as an illustration, you know, because this is what I best know in terms of the kind of thing that God is doing. And so we know that he is also targeting the core northern part of Nigeria, where trouble has been. The people group of northern Nigeria, the Hausas, for those of you who don't know, the Fulanis, who have been much in the news recently, you know, in terms of the atrocities that they have been committing, and the Kanuris, these are the three big people groups in northern Nigeria. And the Lord has focused on them. His eye is upon them at the moment. And this is the reason why, one of the reasons why we are having, you know, the reaction taking place. You know, in much the same way that when God was going, when the time of God's promise drew near for Israel, the Bible tells us that for them to come out of captivity, the promise that God made to Abraham that they would spend 400 years in captivity, when the time of the promise drew near, there arose another Pharaoh that troubled them and will not give them any breathing space. He killed all the male children, except for those that managed to escape. And Moses was one of those. He was looking for the man-child to destroy. You know, he was looking for that one that will bring about the deliverance of the Israelites to destroy. That was what he was looking for. And I believe that in the same way it is happening, you know, in Nigeria, as a typical example of what God is doing in various nations. You know, the devil tears up. He tears up, you know, a destructive force. And the aim of it is to kill the man-child that will bring deliverance. You know, but God is able to preserve the man-child because, you know, the man-child is so crucial in the work of God. You know, the man-child is that company, you know, that has got that capacity to do the work of the Lord and to bring about a deliverance and a release of a people. Amen. You know, so in this particular context in Nigeria, we just see that you know, the Lord is doing this massive work and the enemy is reacting. You know, he first of all brought different types of groups that were destructive, the latest being the Boko Haram And then the last one being the Fulani. All of them have been classed as international terrorists. But they are instruments of Satan aiming at doing a number of things. Number one, to seek out and to destroy the man-child. It has happened twice, hasn't it, in history? In the time of Moses and in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever God wants to do something major in a nation, you know, somehow the devil has an inkling of it. He doesn't necessarily understand everything. He does not know everything. You know, and God is able to preserve that company that he has prepared for himself. Hallelujah. You know, and shield that company from the devil, you know, so that he does not see it and he does not touch it, you know, until it comes of age to be able to do what God wants it to do. You know, and in Nigeria, this is what is also happening. You know, God is hiding a company of people that is preparing to unleash, you know, in a major visitation in the northern part of Nigeria. You know, if the other parts have experienced a visitation of God, this part also will experience a visitation of God. You know, people have been in captivity to Islam for how many years? You know, maybe 200, 300 years since Othman Danfodio brought Islam to Nigeria. You know, much more than that in the northeastern part, where it's up to about 1,000 years now, Islam that has come into that part of the country in what was then known as the Kanem-Borno Empire. So this has been a long, long time of a people being in that captivity. You know, and as we've seen, no matter how long a captivity of a people is, God will visit them. And he will take out a people out of them, a people for his name. I think that a lot of people don't understand the story of Nigeria and the situation of Nigeria the way it is. What we say is the bloodbath, what we say is the trouble in different parts of the country, the killings, what we see is that. But why are these things happening? It is because of this matter that we're considering. The time of a people's visitation has drawn near. And when that time comes, we will see these things manifest. And the Lord is walking his own walk to make sure that, you know, he secures a people for his name. So yes, amongst the core northern part of Nigeria, we've got the first fruits. There are a number of Hausa people that are coming to know the Lord. Fulanis that are coming to know the Lord. You know, and we have the confidence in the Lord that he is going to make this number of the first fruits, you know, fully, and then the main harvest itself will come. You know, we have been praying for northern part of Nigeria. A number of us in the Middle Belt, we've been seeking the Lord concerning that for the visitation of God. And I know throughout the country also this has been happening. And obviously for yourselves here in the UK, you have your own challenges. You have your own issues. And the Lord has not brought you here for nothing. He's brought you here in order to do his own work and his own purposes, in order to make you to be that company of people that he wants you to be, in order to fulfill his plans and purposes in the UK, you know, and beyond. So we will see the first fruits come into being, and we will see the main harvest itself take place. God is going to have a major harvest, you know, amongst the Fulanis and amongst the Hausas and amongst the Kanuris in time to come. The time is drawing near for that to happen, you know, and therefore we have much hope in the Lord. There is nothing that is beyond the Lord to do. When the Lord sets out his, his plans and his purposes, he brings them to pass. It is for us as a people to understand that, and for us to really be prepared and to make ourselves available, you know, for him to use us as much as possible. Hallelujah. You know, so this is something that is happening. In that walk, therefore, in Nigeria, what I say is that, and what a number of us do say, is that, you know, the Lord has set a target for himself that he will break that, you know, that barricade of Islam and bring people out, you know, out of that captivity, no matter how long they have been in that captivity, you know, no matter how, you know, distressing their situation has been, no matter what, the Lord will deliver them. If it took God, you know, to bring out Israel out of captivity, you know, when they have spent 430 years, you know, and we dare not underrate the captivity, the severity of the captivity they were in. It was a severe situation. You know, remember that it took several miracles and the heavy hand of God for Pharaoh to ultimately yield ground and let the people go free. You know, so we must not underrate in any case the captivity that people are in so many nations of the earth that God is seeking to deliver. Some of us have been laboring and all we see is just trickles. There's a handful here and there. But God is preparing a major harvest. Beloved, he is preparing a major harvest and he will bring it into being in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, so we need to understand these things, these patterns. You know, and I trust that the Lord will help you and I, you know, to see this, that God is working at visiting a people. And this is the reason why he's dealing with us in this manner. You know, we're not just being to ourselves and gathering ourselves in this manner and spending time together just to enjoy our time together. No, it is because the Lord has a purpose. Yes, the Lord seeks to have us for his people, and that we will become to him a precious jewel in the earth, and that we will know him and come into that intimacy and fellowship with him. But nevertheless, there is something he has in his heart also that he wants us to look at. The harvest that he has, the harvest of the nations, the harvest of the tribal groups, the harvest of the languages, the people groups, you know, the harvest of all the countries of the earth and the different categories of people that there are, that the Lord has. Amen. So, we will have the first fruits, we will have the main harvest, we will have the gleanings in every single visitation of God that there is. You know, that is going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. But then we need to be the laborers in God's harvest. You know, the laborers in God's harvest. And I just want us to spend a few more minutes on this to look at what this entails. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, 38, we are told that Jesus Christ went to every village and community, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching in their synagogues and healing all those who were diseased. And it says that, verse 36, it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There is a harvest, and we need to know that there is a harvest that God has. God has a harvest, and we need to know that. And this harvest is plenteous. It's plenty. But the laborers are few. You know, and if we might just focus a little bit upon the laborers, who they are, for this is applicable to us, then that might help us to understand, that the burden that the Lord has for us in terms of what our role is. And it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That God will send forth laborers into his harvest. God has got a harvest, and we need to ask the Lord for those laborers that will be sent into his harvest. Amen. Now, there are five things I just want us to look at. And for me, this is probably the heart of the matter. You know, if we turn to Numbers chapter 26, we are given to understand that the land of the inheritance was allocated by lot. You know, the allotments were given to all the tribes of Israel. And in this particular respect, we ourselves as a people, if we look at Numbers chapter 26 from verse 52, it does tell us that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To many thou shalt give more inheritance, and to few thou shalt give less inheritance. To everyone shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot. In other words, people will receive, tribes will receive allotments of portions of land to inherit, according to the names of the tribes of their fathers, they shall inherit. The inheritance is divided according to the names of the tribes of their fathers. Hallelujah. Now that has implication for us, of course. According to the lot shall the possession thereof be divided between many and few. In other words, God has got a work that he wants to do. This is how it translates in our own situation, in our own case, that God has got a work that he wants to do. And he divides that up for us as an allotment. You need to know what your lot is. What portion has the Lord given to you? And for you to engage in that particular portion, you cannot go to another person's lot, because that lot has been assigned to that person. But you need to identify your lot. And the lot is according to the tribes. And in Israel, as you know, you had the nation, you had the tribe, you have the families, you have the households before you have the individuals. So if you are an individual within Israel, you have a portion within your household. And your household has a portion within the family. The family has a portion within the tribe. And the tribe has a portion within the whole land of Israel. That was the way it went. And it's no different in the time that we are in. We're an entire body globally, and God has given us the whole world, as our allotment, Amen. Because he has met the promise that he will visit all nations, all of them. So we all need to know what our allotment is according to our tribe. You know, maybe this company here with all the other brothers and sisters everywhere that have this understanding and this persuasion might be constituted, might be considered as a tribe. I don't know. But definitely there is a role and a responsibility that God has given, you know, to us. The allotment will be according to the tribe. And it's according to the capacity of each tribe. You know, to few, he says, he will give little. To many shall many portions be allotted. You know, this is the way it is. And the very interesting thing is that, you know, in Israel at that time, as they went through the wilderness, they gain or lose capacity, as the case may be, according to the tribes. You know, if you do the reckoning between the census that took place at the beginning of their journey and the census that happened at the end of their journey when they were in the plain of Moab, you will find differences in population, you know, between the first and the second census. By the reckoning, the camp of Judah gained a lot. It was the only camp that did not suffer any loss. Instead, it gained. It gained in terms of population. It gained overall in each one of the three tribes that were within that camp. You know, the camp of Reuben, on the other hand, suffered the greatest loss. You know, and I believe that this is signifying that as we go through our own wilderness, God is seeking to increase our capacity. He is seeking to bring us to a place where we will increase in capacity. The wilderness does a number of things to us. It checks our heart, it tests our heart, whether we will obey the word of God or not. It humbles us, you know, because we go through a very challenging situation. We are humbled, you know, as a consequence. And it also teaches us that God feeds us with his word. You know, they were fed with manna for 40 years. You know, and it says so that they will know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But overall, in my assessment, you know, the wilderness serves to increase or to diminish your capacity. You will either increase or you will diminish in capacity. You know, and God takes us through a number of places. You know, in the scripture, there are about 7 of those places that God takes us through. And each one of them has got a work that God is seeking to do, to build our capacity for the inheritance. Our capacity to be able to do the work that God wants us to do in our own allotment. Amen. So, if your tribe has lost in capacity, then you are going to have less inheritance. This is the challenge. And what God is seeking to do with us, beloved, is that he wants us to, as we go through the remaining wilderness before we enter in, he will want us to gain in capacity, increase in capacity. That's what the Lord really wants. You know, and this is what we see here. So the land is given to them by allotments according to the tribes. You know, and we also have got our allotments. Amen. And secondly, it is according to the capacity of every tribe. You know, God gives us the capacity, you know, to inherit. I love one scripture very much in relation to this issue of capacity, and it is 1 Chronicles chapter 4 that tells us about the tribe of Simeon when they were reckoned in the genealogy that we find in Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 4 verse 24 tells us about the sons of Simeon. Okay, the sons of Simeon, and they are named specifically. But then it comes to verse 38, which is where my interest is. Verse 38 of that same chapter. Having named the sons, then he named another set of people whom in verse 38 he says, these mentioned by their names were princes in their families. Hallelujah. They were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. You know, they had the capacity, they have moved on from being sons. I believe it's not enough for you just to settle in and say, okay, you are a son. You know, sonship is sweet enough, but the Lord does want us to understand that we must become princes. You know, we have to be princes also in God's house. You know, it's not all the sons that are necessarily princes in any given setting, but we have to increase in capacity to be captains of maybe from captains of 10 to captains of 50, captains of 100 to captains of 1,000 to captains of 10,000. You know, and God gives us that capacity as we increase. And these in the tribe of Simeon, it says that they were named specifically, and they were princes in their families. They were not just sons. They were princes within their families. And the house of their fathers increased greatly, you know, because they went to the entrance of Gedor, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable. For they of Ham had dwelt there of old. And these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and smote their tents and the habitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms, because there was pasture there for their flocks. Hallelujah. You know, the capacity that God will want us to have, you know, is one that should measure up to that of being princes unto him, in order to secure an increase in the house of our fathers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so first we have got the land given to us as an allotment, and we need to know that. You know, wherever we are now, it is a land of allotment that God has given to us. Some have got more than others, and some have got across the board responsibilities, you know, but everyone will be in their own allotment according to how God has given to them. And then the third thing is that, you know, God establishes a kind of a divine order and partnership arrangement in the whole thing about the labor in his own house, labor in his harvest. And we find that in Judges chapter 1, where we have, you know, the Israelites asking the Lord, who is going to go up for us first to fight against the Canaanites? And the Lord said, it is Judah that will go up first. So God establishes a divine order, you know, for us to be able to go in and possess the land and to enter into the inheritance that he has given to us. Amen. So, but when the Lord said, Judah shall go up first, then Judah said to Simeon, his brother, I want you to come with me, you know, to my lot, so that we can fight against the Canaanites. And when we have done that, I will also go with you in your own lot. You know, so God brought them into a kind of partnership. You know, we must understand this. We must understand the partnerships that God brings us into. Amen. If the Lord has called you, he will grant you distinct and clear partnerships that are meant to be complementary in nature, to support one another, to make sure that the land is secured, that the inheritance that God has given to you, the responsibility that God has committed into your hand is fully secure. You know, and that you leave nothing undone. You know, so Simeon went with Judah and they fought against the Canaanites. And we are told that they destroyed so many of them. And they took the king of Bezek, you know, Adoni-Bezek, you know, and he eventually died. And the whole land was secured by them as a consequence of this partnership. You know, and this is the way the Lord would really want us to go, to see how we can be in partnership, understanding, you know, the divine partnerships that he has brought us into. Amen. You know, it's not just anyone that you can work with. God has got his own arrangements. He has got his own plans. You know, but we all belong together. You know, at the end of the day, you know, all the land that God has given to us, whether we are talking about 12 tribes or whatever number of tribes in our present day time, it is the same principle that operates, that God gives allotment of land, you know, to a people. Hallelujah. And the fourth thing I just want us to consider, beloved, is that in this walk, there are complementary graces that God gives to us. Graces that are complementary. There will be planters and there will be waterers. Amen. There will be planters and there will be waterers. There will be sowers and there will be reapers. You know, some of us have got graces to plant. Others have got graces to water. Some have got graces to sow. Others have got graces to reap. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 9, Paul was telling us concerning himself and Apollos, wasn't he? He was saying, look, I have planted, but Apollos has watered. But God is the one that has given the increase. You know, so then he says, so then neither is he that planted anything, nor he that watered, but God who gives the increase at the end of the day. You know, so the Lord grants us to understand that, okay, you may start a walk, you may plant a walk, you may do a planting in a given place, but God does not necessarily give it to you to water it. Somebody else comes along and waters it. You know, the cultivation has been done, the planting has been done, you know, and another person comes in and does the watering. You know, you might say that my portion of the work is more severe and more difficult. You know, but God gives to everyone the grace and the ability to do their portion accordingly, to plant or to water, and he gives the increase. Whatever work is going on within UK here, whether you are in the stage of planting, whether God is making you to plant, you know, in your various locations, you will understand yourself, you know, and God will grant that there will be waterers as well, those that will come into water, you know, and you should understand what your grace is that God has given to you. Is it a watering grace or a planting grace that he has given to you? You know, to be a laborer in God's harvest, in the harvest that God has. Hallelujah. You know, John 4, verse 34 to 38, Jesus was telling the disciples. He said to them, look, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish it. And then he said, don't you say that there are yet 4 months and they will then come the harvest. But I say unto you, lift up your eyes right now and see that the fields are white, ready for the harvest. And the Lord grant us help that we will lift up our eyes to be able to see that the fields are white, ready for the harvest. There is a harvest that the Lord has, and the fields are white. Some of them may not look so in the natural, and they shouldn't in any case. We have to see it with the eye of the Spirit, to see that the fields are white, ready for the harvest. You know, and Jesus said that I have sent you there to harvest that on which you did not bestow any labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their own labor. Blessed be God. You know, so you can find yourself in a situation where you are laboring and you are cultivating and you are sowing and you don't seem to see any fruit, anything out of it at all. You know, and you begin to wonder what is going to happen. But God has prepared that someone else is coming to reap. You know, those that may have bestowed much labor in terms of praying, in terms of preaching the word of God, but they haven't seen much. You know, the Lord grants them to understand that there is another group of people, another set of people that he has prepared in order to come and do the harvest and to garner the harvest in. You know, so these are complementary graces that the Lord provides, that we may understand that he is seeking for us to walk hand in hand in partnership. Someone will plant, another person will water. Someone will sow, another person will reap. But everyone receives their reward according to the grace that God has given to them and according to how they have been faithful to the Lord in that which they were doing in response to his call. Amen. 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 Now, in the last thing and the fifth thing that I just want to say in this regard is in Acts chapter 13. And I just want us to read that. We're living in this generation and where God is working, and he is commissioned us, is giving us a calling and a responsibility, but we need to serve God in this generation. Verse 36 says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was led unto his fathers, and saw corruption." So, this man served the Lord. He served his own generation according to the will of God. He served his own generation according to the will of God. Then he fell asleep and was gathered unto the fathers. You know, and God has called us, is giving us a calling, is redeemed us, he has prepared us, he has commissioned us, he has given us responsibility that we may serve our own generation according to his will, according to the will of God. So this is the desire of the Lord for us, that we will indeed serve our generation according to his will. Amen. So just to kind of round up, I believe it is important to go back a little bit to what I said earlier on. To look at in the next few minutes, the visitation that God has prepared, you know, for the nations and for different places. Beginning first and foremost with what we see globally. What did God do globally from the very beginning? He began with Israel and the walk, then went into Europe, as we know, and the gospel spread to other parts of the world, to the Americas, you know, to Asia, to Africa, and of course, we have come in our own generation to be beneficiaries of that gospel. Whether you are from Latin America, or from Africa, or from Asia, you know, or from Europe, or from America, you know, God has visited all these places. Continentally, there has been a visitation of all the continents. God narrows down to the nations within that continent. Amen. You know, and that is the work that he's doing. And within those nations, God narrows down, you know, specifically to the respective people's groups within those nations, in order that he will bring out of them a people for his name. In the African sub-region, as we know, in the African region and the sub-regions thereof, we know that God is working in all the nations there. But there are principal nations that he is looking at, as we know. In North Africa, in West Africa, in East Africa, in Central Africa, in Southern Africa, you know, God is dealing with so many different nations there. You know, and in West Africa, where I come from, I know that Nigeria is a very crucial nation. Ghana has also been mentioned as a crucial nation. Cote d'Ivoire has also been mentioned as a crucial nation, where God intends to do and is currently doing quite a lot of work, you know, to bring about his purposes of the main harvest. Hallelujah. You know, so, beloved, we have been called to understand that there is a visitation of God. And his visitation is going to require that we understand where we belong and what role and call we have received of the Lord. You know, and what he is doing with us now in relation to that. You know, that he's preparing us. He is making us ready. He is dealing with us so that we will have the necessary capacity to be able to carry on with the Lord's work in various places as a company of people, as individuals within the body of Christ. And the Lord will grant us mercy, and he will help us tremendously in being able to take forward his word in our time and in our generation. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we are sincerely grateful to you for your mercy towards us, for the grace which you've shown towards us. Oh Lord God, in giving us a measure of understanding, we trust in you, Lord, that you will unfold the fullness of this in our hearts, far beyond what I have been able to communicate. Because, Lord, you have got a purpose in your heart that, Lord, you will stop short at nothing. Hallelujah. To bring it into being. Thank you, Lord God, for indeed we have assurance from you that the grace that you bestowed upon us is not in vain, but that, Lord God, you will use it to redound to your praise and glory and honor. Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ to ask of you, Lord, that you will show us your mercy and help us in our time. That, Lord, you will guide us and lead us and be gracious to us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. that you will help us, Father, to be able to understand your pattern and way, and Lord God, to, oh Lord God, have the capacity, the increase in capacity that you need for us to have. In the name of Jesus, we pray that Lord God Almighty, you will show forth your hand. That Lord, as we labor in various places, Lord God, sometimes it is unclear to us. Sometimes it is very discouraging. But Lord, we know that you are with us. And you are making known to us that nothing is going to stop you from fulfilling your purpose. Only you would have us to come of age. And we ask that you help us, that we may come of age, that we may mature, that we may become, Lord, the sons and the princes that you've desired for us to have, with such capacity as to make the house of our Father to increase greatly. In this country, O Lord our God, in the various countries, Lord God, that we, each one of us here represents, O our Father, we ask for your help unto us, that you will be gracious to us and help us mightily in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the provisions that you've made for us in Christ Jesus. The provisions for us to grow into that stature that, Lord, you want us to have. We trust in you, Lord, that you will continue this walk with us and help us and lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.